Today, Tim Clark continues the series on All In from the Great Commission. Today is entitled All Nations. The reading is taken from Acts 1:1-11, and this is read to us by Joan. Let's now listen to Joan and then the message from Tim.
Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up in the heaven after giving chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into the cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into the heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." May God bless that reading from his word.
Thank you, Joan. Now, since we're showing some old pictures, here's an old picture of our family. It's a photo of a photo of a photo, so it's not as old as you think. It's from 2005, and on the T-shirt, you can probably make out, it says Project 1-8. And that was a mission group that the Salvation Army had, where they sent groups of people overseas, based on Acts 1-8, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the idea is that you would go overseas for a short period of time after some training, and that you would make disciples who made disciples. So I went over on a Project 1-8 to PNG, and I told you about that a couple of weeks ago. That's when I took that big leap of faith into the river. Remember that story? But I didn't quite make it. I got stuck in the mud. Well, this is the second time we went. I went with Karen. We left our kids behind, which was a bit of trauma for us, but we did it. We went over there, and we met with the people there, and we trained some of them, and they taught us some things too. And then we went out together to villages. We split and went to different villages, and we shared about Jesus, and we made disciples. Now, unfortunately, I got malaria while I was over there, which is not what you expect when you go to that sort of thing. But when you step out in faith, when you step out away from the safety of your bedroom, sometimes things happen. But I'm here. I'm okay. I recovered fully, and I'm glad that I went. I'm not glad I got malaria, but I'm glad for the experience, because if you spend your whole life in your bedroom and don't tell anyone about anything, you'll never go anywhere, you'll never get anything done. You've got to step outside that front door. You've got to make your way in the world, and Jesus calls us to make disciples. Now, yeah, this is the one. So, yeah, we are in our third week of the All series, as Karen said. In the first week I challenged you, are you all in? Last week, James asked and taught us about all authority, because this series is based on the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth." And so James talked to us about the authority of Jesus. And Jesus said, "In that authority, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Today, we're going to talk about making disciples of all nations. And it fits in nicely with the launch of our self-denial appeal. Now, let me tell you, if you don't know what self-denial is, you will get to know what it is over the next couple of weeks. But it coincides with Lent, which is a Christian period where people give up something to remember Jesus. But specifically in the Salvation Army, self-denial is about giving up something so you can give to someone else. And the challenge is 1 week's salary on missionary service. It used to be called OSAMS, 1 week's salary on missionary service. They call it self-denial, but it's the same challenge. And it's a big challenge, a week's salary. It's a lot. But your dollar here will do so much over there. And as we look at those videos over the next week, hopefully you'll be challenged to be able to rise to that occasion. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, we talked about disciples. Quick recap. Disciples are followers of Jesus. That's all you need to know. If you follow Jesus, you're a disciple. And that word "go" there, that little tiny word "go" in the Greek, it means as you are going, as you are traveling, in your everyday. You don't have to go to Papua New Guinea and get malaria to tell people about Jesus. In fact, I recommend that you don't get malaria if you can get away with it. But the part that what Jesus was telling us is as you are going, in your everyday, as you're going to your shops, to the schools, to your social event, you tell people about Jesus. As you are going, you share the good news about Jesus and you make disciples. All nations. Yeah, something's wrong today. Do you get the feeling that you're missing something? Something's out of alignment. But I think it'll be okay. So, Joan read to us from the beginning of Acts chapter 1. Now, Acts was written by Luke. You probably know that. And he followed up from his first bestseller called Luke. And so he re-released part 2, Acts. Acts of the Apostles. And he starts, "In my former book, Theophilus," which just means God lover, could have been a particular person. Derek thinks he was talking to lovers of God. By the way, Derek is younger than me, but only 6 months, so it doesn't really count. So he recaps what happened in the end part of Luke about how Jesus suffered and died and came back to life and then spent 40 days with the disciples. And so then he reveals part 2, which is Acts. And Acts start with a particular occasion, but it finishes with the story not concluded. And that's because we are part of part 2, the going and the telling of the disciples. It finishes with Paul in Rome, but there has been thousands of years since then when people have told the story of Jesus. And there is a part 3 coming, people. It is the fantastic ending of the trilogy, the return of the king. Look forward to part 3. And the disciples were looking forward to part 3. I'm looking forward to, are you looking forward to part 3? The return of the king. Yes, I am looking forward to part 3. But in the meantime, we are in part 2. We are his witnesses to the nations. And so Luke recalls a particular situation in those 40 days. And he says this, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So, don't go anywhere. The Holy Spirit's coming. And they replied, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Which seems a bit of an odd reply. Hang on, the Holy Spirit's coming. Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? That is because that has been the expectation all along. In the Old Testament, they were told over and over again, the Messiah, the Christ, would come. And Jesus said, "I am the Messiah, I am the Christ." And when the Messiah would come, Israel would be restored. Everything would be made whole again. And that was associated with the Holy Spirit coming. And so it made sense for them to ask, are we now going to get rid of those Romans off our back? Are we now going to be a great nation once again? And they were thinking about verses from Joel and verses from Isaiah and this one from Ezekiel. I will gather you back from those countries and lands you have been scattered and will give you back the land of Israel. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll cut out your stone heart and replace it with a red-blooded, firm-muscled heart. Then you'll obey my statutes and be careful to obey my commands. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. Your God. A new spirit was coming, and they were waiting for a new spirit, and they associated that with the restoration of Israel. But Jesus said to them, don't worry about that. That'll happen. That's part three. That's the return of the king. But, because it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set his own authority. Because God's plan when Jesus was to come and for us to be disciples who make disciples to be his witnesses and the return of the king, that was all mapped out before the beginning of time. And there's no point in worrying about dates and times. Matthew told them that. Jesus told them that, as recorded by Matthew. So he says, this is what you need to focus on. That's going to happen. But this is what I want you to do. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then he was taken up to heaven. It says this, and they stood there, and two men dressed in white said, what are you standing here looking into the sky? Have you ever let one of those helium balloons go? Yeah. And they go, and you watch them. And you just stand there and you think, that's not coming back, is it? That's just gone forever. But you still watch it. And eventually you can't see it anymore. And then you just look like an idiot. You're just standing there up at the sky. Someone comes along and goes, what are you looking at? It's gone. And that's where the disciples were. There they were, standing up, looking to heaven. Jesus had gone. They were waiting for the return of the king. But they said, you know what? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go up to heaven. That's the promise. Waiting for the return of the king. So, go and be my witnesses, which is exactly what they did. They were to go and be witnesses in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we become Christians, when we become disciples and followers of Jesus, we receive the power and the authority of Jesus. And James talked to us about that last week. And that gives us the power and the authority to do a whole lot of stuff in the supernatural. But in this particular instance, it's about the power and the authority to be witnesses. Because it's not easy to be a witness sometimes. Now, you might not like what I'm going to tell you this, but you need to know. The word witness in the Greek is the same as the word martyr. Now, we all know what a martyr is, someone who lays down their life for a cause. But no one wants to be a martyr, do they? But when Jesus calls us to be a witness, sometimes that's associated with suffering. Because the good news about Jesus, the world doesn't necessarily want to know that. Some people want to know that. They want to know that if they encounter a risen Savior, their world will be changed. Life will be different because Jesus, the witness is, the light of the world has come. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. Jesus said, if you want to get to the Father, if you want to be reconciled, you've got to come through me. But some people don't want to hear that. And that's when persecution can happen. That is part of witnessing. Now, this witnessing thing was not a new thing. God had always intended his people to be witnesses. In Isaiah, you are my witnesses, my handpicked servants, so that you'll come to know and trust me. Understand that I am who I am. Yes, I am God. I am the only Savior there is. I spoke. I saved you. I told you what existed, and you know it. You're my witnesses. You're my evidence. And the people, the Israelites, as Seth prayed, were to be, that was a promise of Abraham, they were to be a light to the world. When God said he was going to restore Israel, it wasn't just for the sake of Israel, but he was setting them up and us up post-Jesus to be a light for the nation so that this salvation can go global. Jesus always intended, God's intention was always that Christianity would spread throughout the world. How have we gone with that? I think we've done a pretty good job. It's taken a long time. I think there's a few little pockets who've never heard about Jesus. But so we've done that to a certain extent, but then people forget or people don't remember. If you go to, I did RE, religious education in schools for many years, and I would go and tell stories from the Bible, the wondrous stories of God and of Jesus. Most of those kids had never heard those stories before. This is something we can't assume that everybody knows. A lot of people that you have come in contact with in this Christian country, which isn't really Christian, we're very secular, need to hear. We keep need to be telling people about the stories of Jesus. We keep need to be witnesses. Not in our own power, not in our own strength. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that tells us what to say, that inspires us who to talk to, that gives us the insight to speak to the people that we need to speak to. We need to be witnesses. So in the context of Acts, these were real places. You've got Jerusalem there, Samaria, Judea, up north, Galilee, where Jesus did a lot of his ministry. So when Jesus said, you need to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where you are right now you would be my witnesses. And that's exactly what they did. In Acts chapter 2, the promised Holy Spirit came. Peter preached to the crowd at Pentecost. 5,000 men, because the Bible's a little bit sexist, were saved that day. I'm sure there were plenty of women and children who were saved that day as well. But and through chapters 3 and chapters 4 and chapters 5 and chapter 6, that influence that they had, the message of Jesus was received by those people. But then in chapter 7, something happens. Stephen brings his witness. Stephen stands before the Sanhedrin, which was like the religious group of the day. And he says, he has a vision. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. This is at the end of chapter 7. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And their response? They killed him. They stoned him. His witness resulted in him being a martyrdom. And there's an interesting twist, because Acts 1:8 is about you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But Acts 8:1 says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And so they went out, as Jesus said that they should. Would they have gone out if they weren't persecuted? I don't know. But it certainly spurred the message on. And it goes on, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Judea was their a friendly sort of area. It was like their fellow Jews. Samaria was like New South Wales. No one really wanted to go there. But you had to. They have to hear the good news as well. The opposition. So the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get on. And so throughout the next 4 or 5 chapters, it's a story of the message spreading through Judea and Samaria, and then the message spreads even further, and then Paul takes up the challenge to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. So in the context of the Bible, what Jesus was saying there was actually lived out in Acts. But then it continues to be lived out in our lives. So you've got a piece of paper there in front of you. I'm going to come back to that at the end, but you can look at it now. And you can see there that we've got Jerusalem in the middle of the circle, we've got Judea, and then Samaria and the ends of the earth. And there's a bit of a parallel that you can draw. Because you have influence and you have people that you can share the good news with. And the people that you have most influence with are the people I'm going to call your Jerusalem. They're the people in your house, they're your relatives, they're your friends, they're the people you come in contact with. They're people that need to hear the good news. But then there's your Judea. You're the next level of your influence. There are people that you might come in contact with the shops, people that you see regularly that you might know their names but not much more about them. Maybe people that you're involved with in a club, but you've never actually been to the house, they've never been to your house. They need to hear the good news. Then there's your Samaria, your New South Wales. People that you may not know very well, maybe people you don't like. They look different, they act different, they think different, they follow the wrong team. They need to hear about Jesus as well. And the ends of the earth. Maybe you'll never go to Papua New Guinea or Brazil or to any other country and tell people about Jesus. Maybe you will. But you can still pray for people. There are people you see in social media and in politics who need our prayers, who need to hear about Jesus. They will be great influences if they become Christians. So we're going to come back to that in a minute. But first I want to consider, why don't we? Why aren't we witnesses? So I thought of three reasons why sometimes I struggle. And maybe you can relate to these. So the first reason is apathy. I just don't care. Now, I wouldn't ever consciously not think that I don't care. Does that make sense? I think it does. But it's more like I don't appreciate the urgency of the situation. Maybe I've lost my passion. Now, if I was in a burning building and I ran out, and then I turned around and I saw someone else in that burning building and they didn't know that the building was burning and the roof was about to collapse, surely the onus is on me to go and say, hey, you need to get out of there, and if I can, I'll help you out. What they do with that information is up to them. But people who don't know Jesus are in that same situation in their eternity. They are facing an eternity away from God, an eternity of destruction. And God calls us to be witnesses to those people. We need to share that information. We need to have an urgency about it. We need to have a passion. So if you don't care, you need prayer. You need to pray for passion for the people around you. A sense of passion. The heart of God for the people that you come in contact with, knowing that they do not know Jesus. And without Jesus, an eternity without God is an eternity of utter sadness. And we don't want that for anyone. Maybe activity. Maybe that's the reason. You are so busy, you just do not have time to share the good news about Jesus. Here's the good news about that. Remember at the beginning, go and make disciples of all nations. That word go means as you are going. So if you're a busy person, congratulations, you are already going. You just need to be purposeful. You are already in the marketplace talking about different things and in clubs and having activities. You just need to be a bit more purposeful. Less about the task and more about the relationship. So I thought, what is the other reason why I don't share? Anxiety. I'm worried. I'm worried about how it'll affect me. Will they say something nasty to me? Will it damage my relationship with this person? I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong. But one person becoming a follower of Jesus, hearing the good news that you know about, outweighs any of those possible bad things that could happen. And it says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray for peace, to be able to witness to your friends and your neighbours and the people you come in contact with and the people you don't like very much and maybe even the people who are distant from you. And pray for power. And the power is already yours. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, your local context, Judea, a bit further away, Samaria, the people. Maybe you don't get on with, and to the ends of the earth. So back to our drawing now. We're going to ask Judy to come out. And she's going to just play through the song that we're going to sing next. Just to give you some time to think of a name. So who is in your Jerusalem that God has put on your heart that you can pray for and witness to? Just one name. Think of that name, write it in there. who's in your Judea, who do you not know so well, but you know that they need to know about Jesus? Write that name in there. Your Samaria, who are those people who maybe you don't like very much, but they need to know about Jesus too? And the ends of the earth, maybe some you'll never actually meet in person, but they need to know about Jesus as well. There is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, God's Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Who will you share the good news of Jesus with?
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to know more about our services, are on Sunday mornings at Caloundra Salvos, 119 Sugarbag Road, Little Mountain, at 10 o'clock. Thank you.